Hey everybody, this is Josh McKinney, and I just want to welcome you to the third episode in our Jiu-Jitsu Is series. And today we're going to talk about that Jiu-Jitsu is, what is it? Is it pro wrestling? No. We're not pro wrestling anymore. Jiu-Jitsu is pro football. And I wanted to put in the title Jiu-Jitsu is NFL, but I don't know if you can even say that in the title, or if Roger Goodell would you know, murder my family or something for that. We just decided to go with pro football in the title. Just for a little context, one of the most famous episodes of the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu show, or it just seems to be a fan favorite, are the episodes that help white and blue belts be able to beat purple and brown belts. And that really, the episode on strategy, we called it Mastering the Blitz. I think so many people had never heard that jiu-jitsu is not just techniques. It is strategy. It is knowing when to use the techniques and when to do the techniques harder. And so really that idea on mastering the blitz, the most offensive strategy in jiu-jitsu, and understanding the prevent, when it's time to not blitz, when it's time to not go forward, when it's time to not attack. That understanding seemed to help more people than I almost anything else we've ever talked about on the show. And so I wanted to make sure to start with that, but there are so many other similarities when you watch pro football, and we are in the middle of pro football season right now. And so there are all these different similarities that will help you understand jiu-jitsu, will help you understand, they will just help you understand how to be a better grappler and how to conserve your energy more, how to use your energy better, and just some other things that I don't think people think about when it comes to jiu-jitsu strategy, when it comes to winning rounds or winning matches. And so the first thing that we will talk about, like I said, is understanding the blitz. And to me, how I explained the blitz in these episodes, it's like 100 episodes ago, but how I explained the blitz was when you add your physicality to the jiu-jitsu that you already know and the jiu-jitsu that you already do, and your goal is to push forward, it is to advance position, it is to hit a submission, it is to whatever, but you start to put the pace on somebody. You start to attack more. And to me, so many people are going, wait, what are you talking about? Shouldn't you always be attacking? No, you definitely shouldn't. Anybody who tells you that, like you should always be on offense or that you should always be attacking, it should be this constant thing, they are lying to themselves. They only get to do that because they probably are your coach and their students suck, and so they can just stay on offense the whole time and beat you all down. But when you go with other good grapplers, no matter how good you are, you have to play defense. You have to play prevent sometimes. This is why we see the highest level guys only hitting the same move like every match, right? You see them hit that all the time. We look back to the greatest, the most exciting jiu-jitsu competitor of all time. You look at Leandro Lowe and how much of his matches, especially the toughest matches that he has, were just in somebody's guard, in somebody's open guard, in the lapel guard that they like to play, in the lasso that they like to play, and him just being able to play there. And him being able to prevent stuff from happening there. But then he would win the matches by knowing when it was time to go. When it was time to go for the patented knee cut. When it was time to blitz, right? And so much of being good in jiu-jitsu competition is understanding that the clock is also your opponent. But if you do it right, you can make the clock put a lot more pressure on your real opponent than yourself. But if you don't pay attention, if you think in terms of, well, submission is all that matters, or you think in terms of, I should always be going forward, just any type of absolute, most likely you can be out-strategized easily. Because when you start to make jiu-jitsu something else, when you start to make it, you know, yes, jiu-jitsu is an art, but the difference with the art of jiu-jitsu and any other art that you're seeing is that you win in jiu-jitsu. There is a clear and defined way to win and a clear and defined way to lose. And so even though we can do beautiful jiu-jitsu, even though we can make things seem so groundbreaking, right? Of like, oh, you should always dot, dot, dot. And then everybody goes, oh, wow, we should always do that. Submission is all that matters. You miss out on that there are other things that matter in jiu-jitsu. And if you understand them better, you will get more submissions. And I'll explain this more when we start to look at kind of like clock management. And but before we get into that, I want to talk about why we're comparing jiu-jitsu with pro football. One, for me, it's one of the only sports that I watch and that isn't jiu-jitsu. But two, it's because it's a sport. There is, for me, and I've talked about this on the show, that so many people that are high-level jiu-jitsu guys in America, they care so much about innovating on technique. And I see this happen to everybody. I see this happen so much, not to everybody. That's a generalization. I told you guys not to do that. But I see this happen so often where guys are starting to get good and then they're like, well, I lost to this person. And the only way that I could beat him is if I was deeper in my system of doing jiu-jitsu, if my system was better, right? Because that's the buzzword that you use as a competitor. And then, you know, you come up with more really, really, really specific detailed answers to all these situations. And what happens to most guys that I see is then they go out to the next tournament, they try it and they lose. And they keep doing this. And then eventually they give up and they blame the rules and they blame whatever. But the contrast to me is how most Brazilians that I know treat jiu-jitsu. And they act like, no, all the techniques that we need have already been done. They've already been invented. My job is to win. And it might not always be technique. And I remember when I started to really learn this as a brown belt, when I would train, there was this time where every Monday and Wednesday, I would go to my coach Kyle's. And there was a good group of black belts that we'd always train together. And I would go with my friend Junior Silva. And, you know, there was this period where he really wasn't getting me with much. And then he found out that I could not defend knee bars. And it was like I was getting knee barred every round with him. Like, I couldn't tell you how long it was. It felt like for years. It felt like forever. But what I started to recognize is like, oh, it's just him understanding his opponent and knowing how to beat that opponent. Because in the tournament, if I was going with the guy who couldn't defend knee bars, I'm going to attack knee bars on him. And then just from the other side of that, like as a training partner, you need your training partners to do that. Because now I feel like I have good knee bar defense. I have good leg lock defense, but it came from when I was a brown belt and I was getting really good. And then all of a sudden there was this hole in my game I never realized was there. And so many of my guys, so many of my training partners were like, oh, there's this hole. Let's attack it. And eventually it made me fill that hole. But what I'm trying to get at is understanding that this is a sport. And just because your coach says it one way, just because somebody with the right last name says it one way, it does not destroy the value of what is effective and what is not effective. And in jiu-jitsu, figuring out what is effective and what works, especially considering everybody is still so obsessed with technique, If you can find things that are effective and that work that are not techniques, it will make your jiu-jitsu unbelievably better because you are thinking about the things that nobody else is thinking about. And so you could study all the technique in the world, but I guarantee you there is somebody who is more obsessive that is studying those more than you. But strategy is different because strategy changes. And that is what I love seeing in professional football, is the amount of strategy that it takes to play football and the amount of strategy that you see from the best coaches and their ability to exploit big holes and their ability to just win games. And it doesn't have to be pretty. And so let's kind of talk about like clock and understanding how to manage the clock and what that even means in jiu-jitsu and why it is so easily compared to football. So in a jiu-jitsu round, yes, we can finish with the home run. We can submit somebody. But most rounds are done strategically. When you go in with the game plan of, I am going to submit this guy, and things are pretty even, a lot of times you miss out on all of these other things that you could have been taking from your opponent, that you could have been wearing out your opponent with. And to me, as a strategy, whether you're in the gym or whether you're in a tournament, and in the gym, people pay attention. You know, people may act like, oh yeah, we don't pay attention to points, or we're not a point gym or something like that. But people know when they're losing in jiu-jitsu. One of the most important habits is to learn to score first. This, if you want to be a good competitor, learn to score first. I've talked about this before. I see really high-level guard players do this constantly. You know, in a 5, a 10-minute match, however long, really early in the match, they will knock the person to their butt, and they won't come up and sweep. And it is this fear of, well, I'll get swept back. Well, man, if I sweep him, he'll have a chance to sweep me back. My top game sucks. Yes, we could say, oh, you should just fix your top game. But honestly, as a strategy, and this is what I tell them, my guys that play guard that don't have much of a top game, score first. It doesn't matter. Score as early as possible. Score first. Because what happens now is your opponent, just like when we watch a football game, if you go up one score, your opponent has to score. Because if they don't, and they give you the opportunity to go up two scores, I mean, the game's over. The game is so hard to come back from because I can change my strategy on defense to start to prevent. Wait, I can even get scored on once? There's this match that I have, and it sucks. It's not actually, it's on YouTube, but it's on like a 4-hour just live feed. Maybe I'll do a match breakdown of it at some point. But I got concussed in this match, like a couple seconds into the match, and I'm down 4-0 before I even start to be coherent. And it was just like one of those things I didn't really realize. I was starting to realize mid-match that like, oh man, I'm really, something's wrong. And I get to this point of being in smashed half guard, and I didn't have a coach like the first 3 minutes. And my student, Richie, runs up and he starts coaching me and doesn't even realize that I got headbutted, doesn't realize I get concussed. And so, which is, I mean, typical pro football too, right? And there is this point where I'm like on top and I'm about to pass and I start to almost like have a panic attack. I just mentally, I'm going, wait, something is wrong. I'm like, I don't even know where I'm at right now. And I had cut weight. And so I keep trying to play in my head, you're just tired. And I'm like, you're not even really breathing heavy. You're not just tired. There's something wrong. Well, anyway, I get to mount on this guy and I put together a sweep pass and pass to mount. And so that is a sweep pass to mount. What is that? 9 points. In that 9-point transition, Man, I feel like I had more points than that. I don't know. Obviously, my memory is still a little hazy of this match. I need to rewatch it to know exactly what happened. But I definitely go up by enough. And I have this thought playing in my head of like, okay, it's like 4-12. There is no sequence that you could get hit with. Because I'm in mount still. But I can feel how unable I am to even control mount. It was like all of the focus that I had, I used in that minute scoring those points. And I went to what my friend Chris Paynes would call Running Man. And I just kind of accepted that, like, hey, I can't play top anymore, but I can play defense. And I just played defense. And what ended up happening is at some point in that defense, the guy ended up sweeping himself because he was blitzing so hard. And when you look at pro football, this is why you see blowouts in pro football. It is because a team scored twice early. It's always that. That is always where the blowouts in football come from. It's where the blowouts in jiu-jitsu come from most of the time too. I put you in a position where you know you are losing and you can no longer be cagey. You can no longer play it safe. And that is when we get submissions to open up. Not when I'm just throwing a bunch of crap at you. When I start to throw a bunch of stuff at somebody, even if they're not great, I start to attack really hard and really try to push the pace forward. They start to clam up. Their elbows get tight. Their hands go to their neck. How am I going to submit that guy? He is playing pure defense. I can't even wear him out. He is just playing safe. And so to me, trying to look at, you know, when we're looking at this comparison, is scoring first and being in control of the score. When you do that, you are now in control of the clock. Because when I go up 2 points on you, the clock is working for me and against you. And so back to that analogy of the guard player that sweeps early, even if you get swept back, think of the psychology. Think of what it feels like to always either be behind or tied. While the other guy keeps scoring, the other guy keeps getting ahead. Then we go to the other psychology. So many of these guard players, they knock you to their butt and they go, oh, I can do that again 4 minutes from now. And then I don't even have to play top. And maybe they do that. But to me, I never see that strategy work well. And I never see it work well at a high level. The guys that sweep, they have to get in your head. You have to be feeling like, you know, as the guy getting swept first, will be playing in my head, well, I'm going to sweep him back, but he swept me so easily. He swept me in the first 20 seconds of the match. The other side of it, wait, I've been able to play top on this guy for almost the whole match. He'll never sweep me. I will fight to the death. I've been able to stop every sweep. My confidence goes up as I keep it 0-0 as the top player. And I just think in jiu-jitsu, people understanding that you can make the clock be your enemy or you can make the clock be your best friend. And how you do that is scoring first. And that does not always mean scoring early, right? You don't want to blitz so hard in the beginning that you open up yourself or you open yourself up and you get scored on, right? Because that is not scoring first. Getting scored on is the opposite of scoring first, getting scored on first, right? And so as we look at getting better in jiu-jitsu, as we look at going, okay, I want to win more matches, I want to win more rounds. If you just tweaked your mindset for the first fight of, I'll sweep this guy, and then you play with your elbows a little more tight. You allow yourself a little more defense. You allow yourself a little more, as I call the prevent now, excessive distance. And when you start to do that, you'll start to go, oh, wow, I'm submitting so many more guys and I'm using so much less energy. And so now we want to look at kind of this idea back to this one of the original ideas we talked about. You should submit everyone. It should always be about submission. You've got to win by submission. It's such a foolish mindset. It makes no sense in jiu-jitsu. It's the reason that submission only matches tend to be boring, right? No matter what type of overtime you throw in there, no matter what type of criteria you make the judges score on, they always score on the same stupid thing. How many submissions did you miss? Whoever missed the most submissions, they're the one who wins. And when you start to think in those terms, you start to think of jiu-jitsu as only about submission. It isn't. It's about dominating. If you dominate somebody positionally and you go, oh, well, he didn't submit me, it's realistic. You know, you couldn't submit me. You couldn't have killed me. Yeah, but if I could have hit you with my forearm as hard as I could while I'm in top and mount, I think I might be able to submit you eventually, especially if I can do it a bunch of times while you're just holding on to your own neck and keeping your elbows really tight, right? So we see this habit of like people think that there is the only one respectable way to win. And to me, when I rewatch, it was called Man in the Arena. It was Tom Brady's documentary. Did like the 10 Super Bowls that he played in, and then that whole season leading up to the Super Bowls. And man, if you didn't watch that, I know it was on ESPN Plus. I think it's on Hulu too. But if you did not watch that, it is so freaking good. Just to look at the mindset of one of the best competitors that there has, you know, ever been in a sport that has a ton of money in, and to get to hear that, I think is really cool. To hear his opinions on teamwork and to hear how he focused on growing his team and making his team better, I always think is really cool. But one of the most common things that you heard people say about Tom Brady, and this is what kind of separated him from all other quarterbacks, they would talk bad about him and they would go, oh, Tom Brady is a game manager. He really only is there to stay ahead by a point. He's only there to win in the last 2 minutes. You know, he's just a game managing quarterback. The dumbest insult that is actually a compliment that you will ever hear. Wait, he just wins games? He just doesn't win them the way that you guys like? And the other thing that you'll hear is so many people would say, if the game plan was that we needed to run the ball 60 times and Tom Brady not throw it at all, Tom Brady would be down to do it and wouldn't even flinch. It was not about his glory. It was about winning to him. And when you start to look at, and jiu-jitsu is not all about winning, but when you're trying to perform, it is. That is your job. You know, and you can try to hang your hat on, oh, well, I didn't get submitted, or I didn't do this, or he only beat me by this much. It doesn't matter. You entered a tournament with or a match with a specific rule, and you lost in that rule. And so we have to look at this and say, well, it isn't about this amount of random, like we just get to look at jiu-jitsu and say, well, it's only jiu-jitsu if it's a submission. It's only jiu-jitsu if it's this. It's only jiu-jitsu if it's that. To me, that is just not true. There are so many forms of jiu-jitsu. There are so many expressions of jiu-jitsu. And when you try to put it into a box and say it's only jiu-jitsu like this, a lot of times it's just how people creatively make excuses that they can't win. Right? Oh, well, the rule set is dumb. It's IBJJF rules. I hate that. Sure. Right? Sure, it's the rules that you knew about that you could have studied like your opponent studied. Your opponent knew the rules. When I talked to Austin Oronde, he's talked about how he and his brother started to become IBJJF refs so they could game the rules. So they would know the rules better than anybody. You look at one of the best coaches of all time being Bill Belichick. He would bring things into NFL games and everybody had same access to the rules. Everybody, you know, should have known these things, and he would call a timeout at a weird time, or he would have his people jump off sides at a weird time because he knew how to game the system. And I know people that, you know, hate the Patriot dynasty that once was, are yelling at their computer going, or their phone going, well, he cheated. So that would be a big reason. But like, yeah, he did. You know, I don't think you can deny that. Yeah, I don't think that you should do that. But there is something about getting, you know, like trying to work the system, trying to work the rules for your advantage. And I think that that is, those are really the main ideas that I wanted to talk about, except there's just one more. And this is this habit that you will look at with the best coaches and the best athletes in professional football. And you look at this year after year, and I am recording this on week 3 of the NFL season. So I could be wrong about these teams. But if you look at the teams that historically have been good, that have the same coach and the same quarterback, and they start weak, right? Your Bengals, your Chiefs, your teams that always seem to be good, but are just starting out and they're not looking good. And the media jumps on, oh, these guys suck. The dynasty is over. Everybody's trash. You know, and you think back to a lot of the times that Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, it was with bad records to start the year. You think back to all these teams that this happens to in those first 4 weeks. In those first 4 weeks, by week 17, they don't matter. Week 18, are there 18 weeks now? With everybody getting a bye week, who knows? There's a million games. But you know, you look at that and it doesn't matter, right? And the reason is because good teams, they find a way to figure it out with what they have. It's not always, well, we drafted the perfect team or we picked up the perfect team in free agency. A lot of times they go out, they work, and they go, oh, it's not working. Here are some holes that we have, and here are some holes that we can exploit in the team that we play next week. We can also focus on skill. You see in just on certain teams, they'll have a fumble problem, and all of a sudden it'll get addressed. And you don't know how it got addressed. You don't know what the heck happened. But all of a sudden, nobody fumbles the ball anymore. Or they have a tackling problem. Not everybody runs to the football to tackle. And it's causing all kinds of extra yardage, all kinds of extra touchdowns. And so what they do is they focus on that hole. And then when they fix that hole, then it allows their game plan to work. And so I really think that kind of leaving you guys with something, being able to analyze your own rounds, whether with recording them and analyzing them after, or just doing them from memory, but being able to analyze your own rounds and analyze what is working for you and what is not, and what holes you have that you can fix. This is a habit that you see in football because, like I said, there are billions of dollars put into this sport, and that makes it way more high level. Right? So many people have so much desire, more desire to win, right? And when you see that, you go, okay, well, that is a habit that to me, I don't see very often in jiu-jitsu. High-level guys seem to come into the black belt level and start to bring some heat, start to beat the guys that they can. And then they kind of fall into the tier that they are in, you know, they fall into the, oh, this guy's not elite. He's kind of like B tier, and he can beat everybody there, or he does well with everybody there. But then anyone C tier, he just kills, you know, anyone below that at black belt, he just kills, but he never, ever makes it to elite. And I think that so often, you know, it's because people start to look at the physical abilities that they have and say, oh, I can't do it. Where they look at the physical abilities of everyone else and they say, oh, everybody's on steroids and I'm not going to do that. I can't win. But that being said, it's just like in football where they say, this is the team that we have for this year and we're going to figure out a way to win. And I think that that is a habit for jiu-jitsu that so many people need to have, the ability to just keep, not just keep showing up, because I think that that's a bit of a cop-out. Oh, well, I just keep showing up. I just keep showing up. But are you getting better? Because if you're not, it's probably on you. And so that's what I'll leave you guys with today, except I completely forgot to tell you guys why the heck I am wearing my I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show rash guard right now. And that is because we are doing our sale on, or our pre-sale on our rash guards and our shorts, and we're doing a pre-sale on an I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show gi. And I'm really excited about just all of these things that we have coming up. I think that getting to see how much the show has grown and how many people, as we've been putting stuff on Instagram and putting stuff on all these different social media, on YouTube shorts and stuff, how many people have been like, I need to get me one of those rash guards, dude. Where can I get that? Being able to say, okay, well, we're doing it October 9th through the 31st. We're doing one pre-sale. This, without a doubt, will be the last pre-sale this year. And then, who knows? I think we did one at the very, very beginning, like in January. So it's been almost 9 months since we've done a pre-sale, 9 or 10 months. And so expect it to probably be that long again before we do another one. And so if you want to get in on that, be sure to click the link in the description and get your I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show rash guard, get your shorts, get your gi. To be honest, not to put any guilt on you, but you freaking freeloaders are always listening to all my free content that I'm just giving away. And I never sell anything. And so this is your chance to support the I Suck at Jiu-Jitsu Show and to look fresh to death while you do it. And so that is what I'll leave you guys with. We have one more episode in the Jiu-Jitsu Is series. I won't tell you exactly what it's going to be about, but I will give you a little hint. It is going to be an episode that you just expect it will make you hungry. And so don't sleep on it and be like, oh no, I'm going to intermittent fast today, because you're going to end up with a Wendy's Baconator with extra bacon and just be, you know, getting fat, and it's going to ruin your diet. So I'll talk to you guys next time for the last part of our Jiu-Jitsu Is series.